This morning I want to share what I know is going to be a series, meaning that I'm going to take my time over the next few weeks to really get this in us. The times that we are in are absolutely crazy. And there's other words that we could use. But the world as we know it is a mess. And we, the church, have a job to do. We have an opportunity. And it's important in this time of teaching and sharing that I don't get ahead of myself in some of the things that I want to lay out before us and help us with. So today's kind of more of an introduction. An introduction. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about nothing but the truth. Navigating through a culture of deception. You know, just read it up there on the screen. Come on, say it with me. Nothing but the truth. Navigating through a culture of deception. I have found in more recent years of ministry that my focus of teaching has shifted, clearly more apostolic in nature, meaning it has to do with foundational things. It has to do with structure. It has to do with helping us truly align ourselves with the plans of God, the purposes of God, the will of God. I'm less likely to talk to you about living right because I'd like to believe you are living right. Not saying that it doesn't need to be talked about or taught, but I'm prefacing what I'm about to say because what I'm recognizing right now for the church and for the benefit of our culture is we have got to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. We are in such a culture of deception that it's everywhere. The introduction of AI, artificial intelligence, has moved the levels of deception beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And what I'm hearing from God and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me is that the way to navigate through a culture of deception is that you are so given to the truth that anything that is not the truth will be apparent. That we must become lovers of truth. In 1993, I wrote my second book. That book was entitled Nothing But the Truth, A Lifestyle of Christian Integrity. It's not even in print now, but Pastor Deborah and I, we've been working on a rewrite, believing that it's timely. The book in many ways was prophetic. It so fits the times that for the next few moments, I want to read from the introduction of this book. And then I want to share, time permitting, a passage of scripture that helps us to really understand where we're at and our need to desire truth more than anything else. There is something very fundamental and foundational to our Christian walk that has been lost in our quest for the more spiritual things. That main ingredient is truth. Because we have not kept truth in its proper place, the foundation that the church has built upon in recent years has begun to crumble. And the integrity and character of the church, the body of Christ, is being destroyed. There used to be the statement that the line has been blurred. Now the line is gone. It's just gone, y'all. And we as the church, we got to own our stuff. The word truth comes from the Greek word aletheia. It means the unveiling reality lying at the basis of and agreeing with appearance. The unveiled reality lying at the basis of it and agreeing with appearance means what you see is what it is. It's the truth. It's the truth. The word deception, the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. Deception. We are living in a culture of deception. And the only way you can combat it, the only way you can navigate through it, is that you are so given to truth. And that truth starts on the inward parts. The truth starts in you. The truth starts in me. As I was thinking about this and meditating on it, Holy Spirit said it's hard to know the truth when you're living a lie, when you're lying to yourself. When you're lying to yourself, you're prone to being lied to. When your life isn't what portrayed is not the real, you're going to be prone to other things that are not real as well. No one would ever think or want to say, I'm lying to myself. But it can be the smallest of things that you find yourself convincing yourself of something that's not the truth. That's not real. Nothing but the truth means that it all lines up. And it lines up in such a way that that truth, that word becomes the plumb line for everything else. So when you see something, you say, I don't know about that. Because there is such a commitment and obedience to truth working in you. The truth be known is many believers struggle with truth, particularly when they're being told the truth. You ever been told the truth and you get offended? That's all of us at some point in our lives. But we would hope that we grow to the place where we're no longer offended by the truth. As a matter of fact, years ago, just navigating through some things, and I was talking to my pastor, and I was sharing some things that were said, and he says, well, here's what I've learned. I always pray, God, whatever is true for me, I want that. All of it may not be the truth concerning you, but any part of it that is the truth concerning you, you want that. So our reality that we've got to address is that even in the church, if we are not sensitive to it, we will operate in the same culture of deception. Many are deceived even in the church when we find ourselves functioning in roles and positions and doing things that we're not called to do at all. You may have a gift, but it doesn't mean it's to be used this way. And yet sometimes we do that, and what we don't realize is once you start going that way, the enemy can feed that. And before you know it, you're asking yourself, why isn't this working? For many, before submitting our lives to the Lordship of Jesus, truth was not a major priority. Come on, y'all, let's just be real. Most people say what is comfortable or convenient. Much of today's society is built on lies and deceit. People are paid large sums of money to create illusions. I'm talking about a culture of deception. This AI thing is so real. We were at a gathering recently. It was a birthday gathering, wonderful time. And Pastor Marisa's uncle was celebrating his 94th birthday. He, along with some others, his sons were avid golfers. And so they had this beautiful presentation set up for him. And one of the sons, who's very good in golf, he said, I know you all don't know this. And he mentioned this guy's name and said, he's a friend of mine. Well, he was talking about a comment, sportscaster in golf who you would hear like at the Masters tournament. He said, and I reached out to him and I asked him if he would do this. And so he played it. And so this guy was sharing things about his dad, and it was wonderful. And they even had a mock Masters green jacket made for the dad. And so the guy was saying, and on behalf of the family and the da-da-da-da-da, we want to present you with this jacket. And they pulled the jacket out, and they put the jacket on him, and it was great. Then he gave opportunity for family members to say different things, and all the family members said stuff. So when it came to his turn, the guy who was kind of emceeing it, he said, I want you to know this. He said, everything you heard about my dad, I wrote that. He said, I wrote that, and then through AI, used this guy's voice to say it. I'm talking about a culture of deception. Now, hear me. This isn't anything to get, scared of, but I want to help us to know how we're going to navigate through it. And the way we're going to navigate through it is coming back to the foundation of truth, and that truth starting on the inside of us, so that we are not prone to lies. We're not prone to deception. You have on the inside of you the one who is the spirit of truth. He is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What you see is not always what you get. The world's train of thought is what you don't know won't hurt you. But that's not true. What you don't know can kill you. That's the truth. let an electrical wire out here fall off one of these poles and somebody go grab it without the knowledge of you don't want to touch that. What you don't know can kill you. When I started working on this book, again, this was in 93, I was just reading through the Psalms, and I came across this scripture. And this became the basis, if you will, for the book. Psalms 119, 29, and 30. I know it's one that you all read all the time, so just bear with me. Psalms 119, 29, and 30. Pastor Deborah, can you find that for me? Or if you don't already have it plugged in and just put that up on the screen. Y'all know this. I mean, I'm just rehearsing this, okay, for my own hearing. But this passage here, yeah. Okay. Do you have the King James back there? Find that in the King James. Okay. That removed the false way from me. That's a polite way of what I'm needing to say right now. So, I know y'all know this scripture. Y'all know this one. Some of y'all have it memorized. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy precepts have I laid before me. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Why would he have to say that? Except that the propensity is there as an unbeliever. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me, meaning your word, your commandments have I placed before me. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. When you accepted Christ, you chose the way of truth. When I was working on this book, that really was my working title, The Way of Truth. That was my working title through the whole book. And it wasn't until it got to the editors and at the publishing house, which was Destiny Image, they said, oh, we don't think that's not a real strong title. You know, The Way of Truth, it's like you got to try to figure that out and explain that. So they said, so we think a better title is Nothing But the Truth. Now, I said, okay, we'll go with that title. And I like the title, Nothing But the Truth, you know. And on the cover, they have an actual judge with a gavel right there. So I thought that was nice. It's like you go to court, raise your hand. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Yeah, that's the most important part right there. So help me, God. Yeah, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But I need you to help me, God. That's really kind of how that gets interpreted, okay? That's at least in my mind. Because without being redeemed, I mean truly redeemed on the inside, and staying in that place of yieldedness to God, you can find yourself not leaning into the truth the way that you need to. And in today's times, hear me, church, we are the ones who are to uphold the banner of truth. First and foremost in us, in our lives, and secondly in the culture that we're in. The way of truth. I have chosen the way of truth. I have chosen the way of truth. The way of truth is the way of holiness that we see in Isaiah 35, 8 through 10. It says, and a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Says they will find and come with joyful shouting to Zion. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. It's through truth that we walk in holiness. There's a book entitled Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God by Francis Frangipane. If you've never read that book, it's a wonderful book to read. I have it on my nightstand, and I take time to read through some of those chapters in it. It's a very engaging and thought-provoking book. But the way of truth is to walk in holiness. It is by accepting the truth that we can make changes that produce consistency in our walk. The way of truth is the place where the redeemed walk. You see, it is truth on the inward parts that lines us up with the Word of God. When you love truth, you'll stay long enough to let truth do the work in you, whatever that process is that God is taking you through. When you're not so given to the truth, you'll tend to find yourself easily moving away or stepping away, and it can be relationships. It can be a situation that you're in that God's trying to work something out in you, through you. I want you to know that what I'm talking about is not hypothetical. I know what it means for truth to be spoken to you. You don't want to hear it, so you walk away from it. You couch it in something spiritual. Or you just flat out refuse to hear it. Now, God, I think God talking to me. Okay. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself with this book, because there's a chapter in there called Operation or Demolition. We're going to get to that. But know this, operating in truth, mercy and grace are always right there. When truth comes, mercy and grace comes with them. I'm excited about that, Sylvia. Because when truth comes, I'm looking for mercy and I'm looking for grace. Mercy helps you not have, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to save it. The way of truth is the path Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. I'm talking about the way of truth. The ways of the world are broad. In many churches, it's broad. The world's mindset is anything goes, but the way of truth is narrow. The world says, do it your way. The way of truth is His way. There are not many who are willing to walk the narrow way, yet God requires it from His body. The way of truth is the place of protection, mentioned in Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be a shield and buckler. That word buckler is the Hebrew word, gohira. It means something surrounding the person. Truth protects on all sides at all times. Truth protects on all sides at all times. The way of truth is the process talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, 11 and 12. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child and think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Because you see, the way of truth is a process that brings us to maturity. In order to become mature men and women, we must accept and practice truth. It is truth, God's word, that brings into light and causes us to come face to face with the Lord and with ourselves. The word is like a mirror, that when we look into the word, we see ourselves. And sometimes looking into that mirror and looking into that word, we have the same experience that the scripture says Isaiah had in the year that King Uzziah died. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he talked about the angels. He talked about the glory. And then he says he saw himself and says, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. What I love about the passage of scripture, this is what I love about God concerning you and I. As we walk in truth, as we deal in the integrity of our heart, he never does it to condemn us. He does it to help us. He does it to bring about change. He does it to help us move into a place of greater maturity. You see, we are changed by our willingness to accept the truth. And in many instances, the body of Christ is just not maturing because it hasn't kept truth as its foundation. Many are held captive by fear of what others will think if they speak the truth. Many are held captive by fear of what others will think if they speak the truth. I'm going to say it one more time, David, for me. Many are led captive by fear of what others will think if they speak the truth. Yet Ephesians 4 and 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. When you really love someone, you will speak truth in love. You won't let a brother or sister or a family member or a friend be off, and you know they're off, but you don't want to lose the friendship or the benefits of the friendship. You don't want to lose out. So rather than do that, you just don't say the truth. Truth can be a hard thing, but it also can be a healthy thing and a good thing. It is by the Spirit of truth ruling in our hearts that we are able to walk in truth. It is the Spirit of truth who helps us accept the truth about ourselves. Truth works in many ways, and if the body of Christ intends to change the world in which we live, every member must allow truth to be their language for everything. In the times in which we live, many, and even in the body of Christ, are rejecting truth. When we have no idea of the devastating results that await all of us because of this rejection. So I'm going to wrap up this time right now just reading from Second Chronicles chapter 18. We're going to look at this, and then I'm going to wrap up our time. And what's interesting, and you'll see this when I get to it, I found the title of this book in this text. Nothing but the truth. Second Chronicles chapter 18. Just listen along if you would. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage to Ahab. Y'all know who Ahab was, right? His wife was. Okay, come on, y'all. You can say it. It's not a bad word. His wife was. Okay. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab at Samaria. And Ahab slaughtered many, many sheep and oxen for him and the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, says, "Will you go up with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" And he said to him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in the battle." Now, let me just pause right there, because this is what's called an unholy alliance. Truth will always be tested. Let me say it a different way. Alliances will always be tested by the truth. There are people who will make alliances to get certain things done, denying the truth. It happens in politics. It happens in the church. Jehoshaphat saying, "I'm with you." Now here we go. Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Now he's saying, "I'm with you, but I need to know if the Lord is with us." Now, you want to test an alliance? You want to test a relationship? Ask that question. I'm trying not to get in your business. I'm trying to keep it in this spiritual place. Then the king of Israel, now listen to this. Then the king of Israel assembled 400 men and said to them, "Shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for God will give it into the hand of the king." So they got a word. Now I want you to notice how many did they say it was? 400. Yeah, here's one of the things that you might want to make note of. Not all majority consensus is the right decision or God's will. Majority rules can be a dangerous or deadly conclusion, bring about a dangerous or deadly conclusion. All 400 of them said, "Surely you can go up." Now, catch this, though. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? What's he talking about? You just heard from 400. History. There's a northern kingdom, southern kingdom. Ahab is king of the northern kingdom. Jehoshaphat is king of the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom, 10 tribes. Southern kingdom, only 2. Judah and Benjamin. Now I need to give you some history here to help you understand the context of this. Because hear me. Now we're talking about nothing but the truth. Navigating through a culture of deception. Most of what you and I see is what's in front of us. Yet, many of the things are driven by history, driven by past choices, past decisions. And when we talk about coming into the revelation of the truth, Holy Ghost, I need you to help me not to just respond to this based on what I see. Give me the backstory. So that whatever decision I make here, whatever I'm doing here, I can do it out of the integrity of not only truth, but knowledge. Jehoshaphat is asking this question because here's what he knows about Ahab and those 400 prophets. Those are prophets of Baal. You see, when Solomon was king, he started out real good. And then he got caught up with himself. He started marrying all kinds of women, and he started making these alliances. So he married all these wives, and they brought all their idols, and now he has all this going on. And the scripture says, so at the end of his life, even though he started out seeking God, it says he was the wisest man to ever live. There was some stupid somewhere. Because by the end of his life, it says he was no different than Pharaoh. He was driving them and into forced labor because it was all about him. And God in his sovereignty said to Solomon, because of what you've done, not honoring your father David, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. And he tells him, he says, and Jeroboam will become king of Israel. Jeroboam was not a son. He was a servant. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. So when the split eventually happened, well, Solomon died. When Solomon died, Rehoboam stepped in. But Rehoboam was worse than his dad. And the leaders who were wise tried to counsel him in not putting too much on the people. We're talking about truth here. We're talking about wisdom here. We're talking about experience. But he wouldn't listen to those guys. He listened to his buddies and his peers. And so rather than get some of the weight off the people, he put more on them. So now he's taxing them into forced labor. Jeroboam, who had escaped to Egypt, heard about it, came back. He wooed 10 tribes away And he became king. That became the northern kingdom. Rehoboam was left with Judah and Benjamin. Hear me. But that's what God did, because God preserved Judah for the sake of David and the lineage of Jesus. Northern kingdoms, southern kingdoms. That's what's here. But Jehoshaphat made this alliance with Ahab. So when Jehoshaphat asked the question, is there not a prophet of the Lord here? He's not saying relative to what Ahab petitioned. He's saying, is there a prophet of Elohim? That's what he's asking. I heard what the 400 said, but I have no confidence in them. I need to know what Elohim is saying. And so, okay, y'all still with me? All right. So he asked a question. He says, there is yet one man whom we may inquire of the Lord. Now, this is Ahab. He says, but I hate him. But I hate him. For he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. What's he saying there? He hates the truth. Let's be honest about this, y'all. Okay, I got to pull this in. I wanted to get through this whole chapter, Lord. Prophets of the Old Testament were not fortune tellers. Prophets of the Old Testament were not like we have prophets today who gives everybody a word and wants to give everybody a good word. Some words are good words, but they still hurt. It's like going to the doctor and getting that shot that's going to make you better, but it is going to hurt for a little while, Pastor Admin. We prophet lying to ourselves. I meant to say it that way. The way of truth is narrow. And Jehoshaphat is wise enough to know. He's saying, now you up in the north with 10 tribes. He said, and you're worshiping Baal. I'm down here with Elohim. That word means nothing to me till I hear from Elohim. And when Ahab says, yeah, there's a guy, but I hate him because he never says what I want him to say. Come on, y'all know how we get when somebody's speaking the truth and really down inside, you're like, you fuming on the inside because the truth is hitting you. So you know what you do? You don't talk to them. You don't call them. You don't text them. The number pop up on your phone, you let it go to voicemail because you ain't trying to hear them again anytime soon. I'm looking up at these lights, y'all, just keeping it right here. Because truth has a way of putting distance between us, particularly when one in the party doesn't want the truth. doesn't want to hear the truth, doesn't want to walk in truth. And so, y'all with me if I keep going just a little bit longer? Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, Imlah's son." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting each on the throne arrayed in their robes, and they were sitting at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. Now, you know, that's a mess. Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made horns of iron for himself and said, "For thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed." All the prophets were prophesying, thus saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Verse 12, then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen to this, "Behold, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. So please let your word be like them and speak favorably." Deception. He's manipulating it. But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, when he came to the king said to him, 'Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?' He said, 'Go up and succeed, for they will be given into your hand.'" Now listen to this. This king, he might have been stupid, but he wasn't that stupid. Because when the prophet said that, he knew something was up. "Then the king said to him, 'How many times must I adjure you to speak nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?'" So even though he said what he did, the king said, "You lying." But here's the revelation. Because you see, Micaiah, this prophet, he wasn't lying. He just had the revelation of what God was doing. And I'm going to show you this. So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace.' Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?' Then it says, Micaiah said, 'Therefore, hear the word of the Lord.'" Now listen to this very closely. "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right and left. The Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' And one said this while another said that." Now look at this. "Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said to him, 'How? He said, I will go be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of these prophets, these your prophets, for the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. Micaiah was saying, no, this is what the Lord has allowed. He's saying, I came in agreement with that because that's what the Lord is doing. But now let me tell you the truth. Are you catching this? So I want to pause right there. In this area of the prophetic, what is said is not always the truth. Yet God might say, say it. The deception that's in our culture is also in the church. And as we press into this word, nothing but the truth, navigating through a culture of deception, God is going to help us not only hear him, but see him. See, the prophet said, this is what he showed me. There's another place of truth that God's going to make available to his people. But it starts with our truth. Accepting, receiving. Show me me. Show me me. When we embrace that level of truth, he will release to us the greater dimensions of truth that help us to walk out our kingdom assignments the way that he has intended. The prophetic ministry as we know it today is not what God intended. The prophets of old that we read about in the Old Testament, they showed up because something was wrong. They showed up because correction needed to be brought. They showed up because change needed to happen. And it's in this season that God is going to help bring balance to the prophetic ministry. There is insight that you and I need. There is insight that he wants us to have. There is revelation that he wants us to have. But it is all seen and heard through the lens and the filter of truth.